recognition that honor is the weight of worthiness, value, and respectability that we place upon someone, something, or an achievement. We place value on something. We place, like, that is, or someone that we're like, we really hold you in high esteem. We put such a value on you because of who you are. And wouldn't it be amazing if we had a society that honored people for being people, for who they are as an individual? You know, sometimes the church misses this because we dishonor people in some ways because of their behavior. But when you look at Jesus' life, and that's who our example is to be, as we are disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, that he is our example. Not our church denomination, not our pastors, not our, we should be, but if we're not being radically, if we're not radically living out of what Jesus told us to live out of, well, then we need to question things. And that's okay. Do you know it's always as a Christian to question things? Sorry, just gave us all a lot of freedom there. It's okay. What would Jesus say about that? What is Jesus doing about that? What is he saying into that right now? What is Jesus? Jesus says, if you honor me, you honor my Father. If you put value on what I'm saying to you, the highest value on what I'm saying to you, you're honoring my Father and you're honoring me. Well, Stephen read that, this one out already. Romans 10:12-10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. What a church. What an expression of God's love we would be. That, like, we're looking, look, I'm going to outdo honoring you now. You know, I'm just going to, you think you're going to put up, you know, you're going to raise the bar to there. When you see what I'm going to do next, to, I'm going to go out my way to compliment. I'm going to go out my way to say, thank you for serving. I'm going to go out my way to say, do you know what? Your prayers mean a lot to me. No, imagine we're all in church. No, you're great. No, you're great. Now, look, I want to send you out for a meal. I want to just show you some honor. And imagine the church like that. Like the church, we've allowed ourselves. I'm talking about in a whole when I say the church. And, you know, you read enough books, you hear enough complaints to go, my goodness, we've a lot of catching up to do on what Jesus is trying to get us, who Jesus is trying to get us to be. And but imagine, like, we took, Paul says to the Romans, like, look at, he says, look at, outdo each other. Just get on the phone this week, get on the text, and go, look, that person's always giving me honor. I'm going to try out honor those, that person this week. Wouldn't that be a great church? God places so much weight upon honoring one another, because he says it so many times in the Bible. How we speak of each other, how we treat one another, who we treat, who we honor. See, Jesus says it's easy to honor those who honor you. That's the easy package. He says, look, if you want to be like me, honor those who don't even honor you. How about dying for those who don't honor you? How about giving up your life, giving up everything you have, giving up the glory of heaven for those who don't honor you? You're like, my goodness, Jesus, that is a high value. That is a worth that you place on people that is way off my Richter scale, way off my radar. But I want to be like you. I don't want to pick and choose who I honor. I don't want to pick and choose, like, well, your behavior is not what I want it to be, so therefore I just stick with all my Christian friends. Because, like, we all honor each other. But your behavior is not the same as what I want it to be, therefore I don't really, I'm not saying honor the behavior, but honor that person's made in the image of God. That God's mark is on that person. We show it in every type of way that we can. Peter says, honor all men. All men, he says. He says, honor, in 1 Peter 2:17, he says, love brotherhood, honor all men, love brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Now the king, or the emperor, another translation says, they were confiscating all the Christians' businesses and putting them. This was a time when the Roman emperor went mad and he burned half of Rome and blamed the Christians on it. They were being rounded up and tortured and rounded up and thrown to the lions. And here's Peter writes, honor the emperor. Well, hang on a second. I can honor Jesus. I can honor those who are treating me well. But honor him. It would be the equivalent of someone writing to the Jewish people. Back in the day of Hitler saying, honor Hitler. Hang on a second. That's crazy. But Peter puts it down. See, you can't live this life as a Christian without the grace of God. I can't honor someone like that in my own self strength. But Jesus has made this living, following him, so hard in a sense that we can't do without him. Sometimes, Lord, is easier. Don't kill, all right. Jesus goes, love your enemies. Well, it's easier to live in that law bit than there is not love, than there is loving your enemies. But what he's trying to say is that you can't do this without me. You can't honor people without my love inside you, which he's given us. Imagine a culture where everyone is honored for who they are. Just full stop, who they are. Imagine a culture where people are honored for what they do and for who they do what they do to. That people go, you know what, I acknowledge that you do this when no one's seen. When nobody's, where there's no plaudits, there's no cameras, there's no this, there's no that. Imagine a society where it's the person in the community that makes sure their old folk, old neighbours are all right, that gets on Sky News. Instead of someone who has a load of money that gives to charities. Imagine a culture, imagine a church where we're outdoing one another. Jesus, I love Jesus in this. He meets a woman at the well that no one has any time for. And he shows her honor. He shows her value by listening to her. He shows her value by giving of himself. Because he says, look, if you get the water that I'm going to give you. She was a Samaritan. To a Jew, the Samaritans were dogs. They were half-breeds. They were a mixed race. They had no time. Even Jesus wanting to walk through Samaria was an ordeal for the disciples. And he was showing the disciples, look, I don't discriminate. My honoring doesn't measure, it's not just like because she's a Jew or not a Jew that I honor. I honor her because she's a woman. I honor her because I have so much weight that I pour on people that might, do you not know that my Father sent me for this world? So if I start to discriminate, and I just wonder how much people are missing out on of God's blessing because we decide who we honor and who we don't. I wonder how many men is not being blessed by God because they're not honoring their wife. In fact, that God is like, look, I've nothing to do with you for now. I love you, you're going to heaven. But right now, there's no flow because you're not flowing. And what I've decided is the vehicle of blessing. I wonder what we're missing out on as a church when we go, let's just huddle together. I wonder what we're missing out on in people's personalities and gifts and talents that they bring to the table. Right, they might be lost now. They might be broken now. They might be living on the street now, but they have something of God in them. They might be a billionaire that is sitting up in an ivory castle, and there's nobody bringing honor in a right way that doesn't have anything to do with their money. Just because you're a person. But imagine a church that just honors people. Wherever we go, we outdo the world. We outdo our friends in work. We do our friends in college. No. I remember my kids growing up, four girls. And I used to always drum into them. Look for the girl in school that no one else wants to hang around with. And I'm not saying you have to be their best friend. But I'm saying, will you just acknowledge them? Will you just say, how are you doing? Will you just invite them over to your table? And if they never come, will you just invite them? Will you just bring them into your world where, in fact, all you're probably going to get back from your other friends is ridicule. What are you talking to her for? Why are you inviting that geek into our conversation? Look for people. Because Jesus seemed to go out of his way for that woman at the well. The disciples were off doing our own thing, and he comes back, and they said, Jesus, you must be starving because you haven't eaten all day. And Jesus said, and what was he doing with this woman, telling her about the goodness of God? And he says, I've been eating a food that you know nothing about. Somehow we are blessed and fed when we honor people. And God will always, listen, you want to know the truest blessing in my world? If a Wednesday and a Friday I serve up in a cafe with a couple of little travelers, every Wednesday and Friday, that's the biggest blessing of my week. I get up early, get up at 6:45. It takes a lot to get this face looking anyway good. in the morning. We leave at 7:15, me and my daughter. And we go and we serve a bit of breakfast. And I come away. I don't like getting up that early, believe me. But I come away truly, truly like fed and blessed. Why? Because I've given something that I get nothing back for. And that's the greatest honour. Because like, even if, you know, if you give something, someone says thanks, which is polite. And it's great to get, you know what I mean, being recognised that you're doing something. But there's those unadulterated times of selfless giving that I'm telling you, if you haven't experienced it, just go and find someone that will go, I don't want your coffee or your sandwich, but then you leave it there and you eat it. And you walk away. I kid you not. That was the joy that Jesus set before Jesus. He only got death and we got life, but somehow it was a joy to him. Go and serve someone that no one else is serving. Find them in the job. They're there. The people sitting on their own is in every place. Jesus put so much weight on honouring that in the place where he was raised, Nazareth, he says, remember that statement when he opens the scroll and someone says, sure, that's only Jesus, Mary's son. Just totally put him on a, just took away everything that he was. And it says they didn't see any miracles. Do you know, that's when Jesus said that a prophet is not honoured in his own town. And I'm like, maybe this weight that God puts on honour. And sometimes we go, why are we not seeing this? And why are we not seeing that? And why is the church not, you know, seeing these type of things? And we're pulling each other down. And God would probably say, that's why. Because you're not honouring one another. Because Jesus and Nazareth, miracles and signs and wonders was placed in the area of honour. But imagine we do what Paul says and outdo one another. And we give each other to each, we give each other to God for selflessly. And we give each other to each other selflessly. And we go and say, let's see what God will do. Myself and Sharon, the best way to share some of this is by shared experience. Myself and Sharon was asked to go and speak to this girl that had mental health issues. And we were asked, I can't even remember how we got there, but we picked her up from a place over in the north side where she was in sheltered accommodation and was, the only way I can describe it, that the girl that we met was a zombie. She was about 5'8", about 20 stone, couldn't even hold her lips together without dribbling because of the medication she was on. And we met her in the yacht pub over in Clontarf, if anybody knows it, on a day off, a Monday morning. And we were sitting there and the girl starts telling us her story. And it was the most disastrous story I think I've ever heard. And it was to do with forced abortion. It was to do with being held against our own will. Just, you're like, oh my goodness. And we listened to her and we're sitting at the windows. I'll never forget it. We had a pot of tea and she had a pint of water with blackcurrant. And she would drink soup and it would fall down onto her clothes. And if anyone knows me, look, I'll run a mile from stuff like that because if you're sitting with me, you have to have everything cleaned around here. But if there's a crumb on your lip, I don't want to eat there. It's just the craziest thing. And so here's this girl dribbling down on herself. And I'm like, oh, Lord, you beam me up, Scotty type of thing. So I tell her about the love of God. And we're over this table and Sharon is sitting there and this girl leans, she was a sort of a dominant figure of a woman and she leans over and she says, the voices in my head are saying you're a liar. She had schizophrenia. And like, you know, like you swallow, which means Jesus help me. You go, what in the world am I supposed to do here? And she's like in my face and I'm like, at least Sharon might be sitting there praying like for the situation. Sharon told me afterwards that like she was sitting there thinking, if she hits Nolan, I'm going to hit her with the teapot. I don't know who was worse. Sharon hearing voices in her head about hitting the girl with a teapot or her hearing voices in my head, in her head. And I swallowed hard and I looked into her face and I says, Liz, what is your heart saying about what I'm saying? Don't ask me where that came from. She says, my heart says you're a truth sayer. That's what she said. You're a truth sayer. And we went into this relationship with this girl for the next 2 years. We'd ring up. We'd meet her in the Skyline Hotel. We'd have scones. And we found her in awful states. When she went back to where she was and talked, that she was talking about God to somebody. And in her mind, immediately the devil came into it. A medication was put up. We pick her up the next week, and she was worse than the week we found her. And I want to tell you, I'm being honest, I hated going to see that girl. I never really, really, really would know how we're going to find her. And I dreaded every Monday morning. And she'd ring during the week, and my girls would talk to her on the phone. And yet every time we left her, I knew that was the purest giving I've ever done in my life. I knew it was the purest things that I've ever done in my life. No one honoured this girl. No one, she was like a ghost. She'd walk in and out and people wouldn't even want to look at her because they were afraid. But I want to tell you, God honoured her. And God done stuff in our lives through that girl that you couldn't imagine. One day it just happened that it ended. It was a midweek. It was a midterm week, sorry. And all my girls were off school. And we were due to meet Liz. And I says, come on, we all go meet Liz. And they'd talked to her on the phone. And she was always asking them, where are you this week? And they'd never seen her. And we goes over to the Skyline Hotel. And it was my three youngest girls, sorry, Becky, Naomi, and Erica. And Erica was about four at the time. And they're sitting in. And Liz didn't want to know anything to do with me and Sharon. She just wanted to talk to the girls, and the girls were really into it. And Erica was four, and Erica is 17 now, and Erica, she's probably a bit older, excuse me for if I don't get the exact, but she was young enough to be playing with friendship bracelets or making. Do you remember those Scooby bracelets? Anyone remember them? Little plastic tubes that the kids were, weaving together that would come out with this friendship bracelet. Well, that's how young she was, and that's what she was making for everybody. And we're sitting in the car going to the Skyline Hotel, and Erica says, can I make you a friendship bracelet? And so Liz says, yeah. And we got talking, and then what we'd normally do is drop her back to the house. We'd pray in the car before we get out. We'd get out and give Liz a hug, and she'd go up into her room. And we get out, we're doing everything that we normally do, and Erica says, your bracelet's finished. And we're outside the car. And Erica says, Liz wanted her to hand the bracelet. And Erica says, no, I want to put it on you because you're our friend. And she puts this bracelet on. I asked the Lord to take a picture of it and show me when I get to heaven. Her arms, from the top of her arm right down, was all scars from where she had slit herself over years. And Erica didn't even see them. And she just put this bracelet on her. That was the last time we seen Liz. 2 days later, she died of a heart attack. But this little kid honored her. And I want to just encourage us as a church, go out and find these people. They're there. They're everywhere. Someone introduced us to Liz somewhere along the line. This week coming up, you have go and find them. Give them an invitation to church next week. This is all about us coming together as a family and letting people see what the family is like. Invite people. They're just waiting on that. That's all the way. How did you get to church at the beginning? Someone invited you. How did you come to know the Lord? Someone invited you. I was brought to the National Stadium. My friend, all I was waiting, I didn't even know what I was waiting for. But when I got it and I found Jesus, that like Mick came to me honoring me. And I want us this week, because all these discipleship things is about taking away stuff. Take away a bunch of these, not one. For crying out loud, if you only one friend, come and join my family. If you only one person in your world, just come on, just get connected. Take 10 of these, 5 of them. And look, invite someone. I want you to come along next week. This is a personal invitation. I want you to introduce to the family. Rob Carley is speaking. You will totally enjoy Rob speaking. This will be a different setup. It will be a great Sunday morning, but it's an opportunity to honor the gospel, to honor God, to honor Jesus, to honor the work that's being put in to make this happen, to honor the finances that's being put in to make this happen, to honor who's on the other end of that invitation. There was 2,500 invitations given out in Bray yesterday, knocking at doors. But that's to the broader community, but us as the church. No, I was told about Bray in this area. I was told by someone who I trust that there's enough people that used to come to churches in this area out there to fill this place three times over. You know them. You must know one of them. And they're just waiting for someone to say, here, come on back. I don't know why you left. You probably got pained. You probably got hurt. But is that enough to stay away from the family? Is that enough just to stay on the... I want you to come back. I want you to hear what has to be said next week. We want you to invite back. Please post it. Put it on Facebook. Take a picture of it. Send it through iPhone. Whatever you need to do. Make it a personal invitation. That's our job as the church. The broader community is being invited. There's another 2,500 that will be given out this week. And but like, we know someone that needs to be here, don't we? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for just the way you honour us, Lord. You honour us by turning up, Lord, when we pray together, two or three. You honour us in our worship. You honour us in our life. And Lord, and I pray for this week that we would find those who need to be honoured. I pray this week that we would have an attitude, I'm going to outdo somebody this week. It doesn't have to be everybody, but somebody. I'm just going to send them a card. I'm going to, like Vicky talked about Gary and Wilma earlier on, some of that input into your life along the way. The greatest thing that we can do with those who have helped pave the way in Bray is to build on what they've done. That's the best way we can honour them. Most people honour the past of the church by building statues or building, you know, monuments or naming schools after them. Look, that's all right, but it's the way to really honour the past and those who've gone before us. It's not about buildings. It's not about plaques. It's to build on what they've given their life for. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a church that builds on what has been laid down for us. I pray, Father, that we would find people this week to invite the church. That we would find those who have been hurt, that have been disillusioned, that have let go, that have just decided to walk away at some stage for whatever reason. I want to invite you back. I bless you in Jesus' name. I honor you as people, as individuals, as a group, as a church, as a husband, as a wife. I pray God's blessing on you. I pray God, you would know God honoring you this week because you've honored him. There's times when you think, oh, look, there's nothing, there's no return. But God says he honors those who honor him. Keep your heart right. Keep your heart pure. And he says, I honor that stuff. Let's stand. Could you put your hand on the shoulder of someone beside you? Just speak a blessing over them. Just you don't, if you haven't got the language, just say, I bless you in Jesus' name. Because you have to understand, them words are powerful. Jesus says, if you want to pray out and pray according to my will, and my Father will answer it. Well, you can bet your bottom dollar God wants to bless that person, because the Bible says it. So you're praying exactly in accordance with the will of God, which he says, I answer that prayer. So bless them. I speak blessing over them, Lord. I speak, Lord God, that they would know your greatness this week, your love this week, your grace, your mercy, your breakthrough, your provision, your power, your protection, your presence. Lord, I just pray, Father God, that this person beside me would know the fullness of who they are in God and know the fullness of who God is in them. We just say, Father, we want to be in alignment with Scripture. Lord, you said bless one another, honor one another, Lord. We want to take this moment just to bless and honor one another, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please stay and have a cup of tea and have a chat. And see you Wednesday night here at 7:30.